Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. In the first hour, ladies and gentlemen, and we will continue through the second hour, because this is an extremely important subject that we are talking about, basically the status of the United States of America. Is it changing? Is it changing for the better, for the worse? Is this change? Is it a pre-designed change? And my guest is Professor Tomislav Sonich. He is a he did teach in at American University, and now he wrote a book. His book is Homo Americanos, Child of the Postmodern Age. Tom, I had Professor Kevin McDonald on the TV show, on Current Issues TV show, and he did put the blame for the immigration or policies or lack of immigration policies squarely on the Jewish influence in the United States and on the government, that they wanted to dilute the United States' strength by this multiculturalism. Do you agree with Professor Kevin McDonald that Jewish influence did have some to do with the slack or lack of immigration policies?
All right. Hisham, can I just rectify some of your statements, if I may, just in terms of style and some qualifiers? I did happen to listen to this show, and in fact, I know Kevin McDonald very, very well. He's a good friend of mine, and he also wrote the preface to my book, just for the information. And I don't think that he actually put squarely. He didn't. He just made a very mild critical comment. In fact, we can say yes, a critical comment of the Jewish influence in the United States of America, not just in the academia, but also in the political life and all the rest. But he certainly, and I resolutely disagree with those, even with the Southern Poverty Law Office, whatever they call it, or IPAC, who called him an anti-Semite or something. This is a very, by and large, we could now discuss about the semantics of anti-Semitism, and I guess I consider myself a good linguist, since I'm fluent in German and French as well. And I could tell you how this whole Mickey Mouse term, anti-Semitism, is nonsense. It's basically not the... I always wonder who actually uses this term and what this term really means in historical narrative as well. But as far as Kevin McDonald is concerned, yes, definitely. I read his books very much in detail. They're highly academic, with heavily footnoted, with lots of good quotes. And he actually uses this approach of evolutionary theory. And basically, yes, indeed, I agree with him that the Jews have played a very strong role, particularly after the Second World War, in shaping not just the American foreign policy, but also domestic policy. But then again, why I agree with that? Because it squares away, he doesn't speak about that explicitly in his book, but it squares away with my thesis that we can trace this down to the susceptibility, if I can use this word, of Christianity towards Judaism. Because Christianity, in a sense, you can say it's a Gentile form of Zionism, of Judaism, if I can put it that way. I don't know if I make myself clear. In a sense, America, and to some extent the Christian Europe, has been very much in this neurotic position over the last 2,000 years. On the one hand, yes, we love Jesus Christ and his apostles, who are Jewish, by and large. And yet at the same time, even my grandma, they frequently had those outbursts of anti-Semitism and started blaming them. So this is this neurosis we have, which we have to solve. And the only way we can solve it by having free and open discussion with modern Jews.
Very good. Stay with me. When we come back from the break, we'll go to more phone calls. We have people holding to make comments or asking questions. The number is 800-313-9443. We will be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, the only probably remaining network out there that is still cares about the truth and bringing you uncensored information for you to decide and cipher through all the garbage that you see out there and you hear out there. And therefore, I'm asking all of you to support RBN every which way you can. Let's go to Maryland with Mike. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, are you on?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you've got a very interesting guest, very good show. You always have a good show, but you knocked it out of the park today. Very great guest. You know, this is a very complicated issue, and you can kind of like, it's very easy to deviate on other paths, but it's a multifaceted issue as well. And let me just give my input, if I may, and if you disagree, that's fine. If you agree, that's fine as well. But, you know, I'm of the school of thought that nothing happens by accident in history or in culture or in countries. You know, I don't believe that anything happens by chance. And the idea that Western Europe and the United States are being flooded by largely third-world immigrants is no accident. And you know, this term is bandied about quite frequently on RBN Live and other patriot networks, of the New World Order. And the people at the top, the very elite, who may want to consolidate their power, are jealous of the people that are down one or two rungs below them. And the people, the greatest preponderance of the people that are below them, the middle class and upper middle class in America and Western Europe, are white Europeans. So in order to basically decimate and diminish their power and stature, the only logical way that can be accomplished is by bringing in large numbers of third world people in an effort to purposely balkanize the European cultures and create the chaos. And this may tie into what your guest is saying of how Yugoslavia, the only way that they can be kept in check, or the ruse or the excuse that they're going to use, is by creating a police state, order out of chaos. So once the chaos ensues, well, the authorities that be, the powers that be, will say, well, we got this chaos, now we have to clamp down on civil liberties, and that's the only way that order can be restored. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason, or might be part of it, but I just wonder what you gentlemen think about that prospect.
Thank you, Mike, for the call. Tom?
Sure. Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate what the gentleman, his comments sound very clear to me, and I understand exactly where he's coming from. In fact, I do mostly agree with most of what he said, except for one thing. For some reasons, I do believe in accidents in history. In fact, there is an old proverb. We often, humans, we take care of history, but very often if we don't want to take care, if we just give up and throw the towel, then history will take care of ourselves, unfortunately. So Europe has been going through that for quite a period of time. Just to be on the safe side, I'm not ruling out, European conservatives, and I know quite a few of them, even quote-unquote right-wingers. They usually blame the Arabs, they blame the Jews for their problems, but believe it or not, and I'm sorry to say that, we got to be quite open with ourselves. Even when we run out of Jews and the Arabs and we start, whacking each other, unfortunately, let's be quite open. The Croats, the Serbs, the Irish, the English, the Walloons, the Flemings, and I'm sorry to say, despite the fact that I'm very proud of my history and my languages, my language skills and my literature and the years of reading, the fact of the matter is that even intelligent people, educated folks, the white people I see, are sometimes very, very limited. This is the first part of my answer. And as far as the second part of the answer is, the gentleman that raised a very general question, and I guess it's fine if we just move back to the religion again. It seems to me that at least we have to look at the things as they are, not as they would like to be. In fact, my wishful thinking has no academic basis. The fact is that show me a single multicultural country that functions. I'm aware of the fact that America is not what it used to be, but I don't want to blame, and probably I want to make sure that the gentleman understands me, I don't want to blame some hidden circles, sitting in some darkened rooms. This is a very reductionist and simplistic approach to history. Those who I blame, and mark my words, those who I blame are millions and millions of hardworking Americans, especially European Americans, who are either too much afraid for losing their turf and their little career, who just want to enjoy their TV and their cheap thrills, who want to send their kids to movies and popcorn and all this type of thing. And those are the people I blame most. And the betrayal of intellectuals, the self-betrayal, exactly, they have the same thing in Europe. People who are not spiritually involved, who lack civic courage. This is where I see the problem. I don't see the problem with the Jews, or for that matter with the foreign immigrants. I see the problems with the Europeans, a great deal of them, who are just spoiled rotten, if I can put it bluntly. That's where
Tom, what are they supposed to do, though?
Well, they just have to stand up and just develop a little bit of civic courage and say how things are. And I'm sorry to say, even quite a few of European academics I know personally exactly think the same way as I do and most of your listeners, but a variety of reasons. They have a nice car in Oxford or in Cambridge or at UC Berkeley or wherever. They don't want to rock the boat. I'm not saying that we have to call to violence. I'm against that. But at least they should show a little bit of civic courage, because this is exactly what the salami tactics, which we are now observing on the federal level, is occurring. When people are just too coward, when they don't want to stand up for their civil rights, and we don't want to say certain things. Why don't we say, quite explicitly what this gentleman, those two gentlemen, those scholars from Harvard and Columbia, when they talked about the Jewish lobby. Of course, you know, everybody knows that, but we all pretend not to be knowing about that. It has to be said openly. It's good for the Jews and it's good for us, and not just harbor those hate feelings against each other, because every once in a while those hate feelings explode, and then you know what happens, pogroms and massacres. We want to avoid it. And I'm glad that that book came out, you know, if you know what I'm talking about, this Jewish lobby that was published 2 years ago by those two academics, Merzheimer and Wohl, I forgot the name. Those are the issues we need to talk in open and not behind some skinheads, you know, scenario and all this type of a thing. Those are the issues that need to be addressed quite openly. And I may disagree with some revisionists or not, but those people should not hide in some third world countries for their hidden discussions. They should be given a chance to talk in open about their feelings. I may disagree or I may agree with them, but that's not the point of the thing. The thing is, we need to discuss those things in open.
Tom, let me give you something about what's happening these days. We see some people say it's war on Islam. Other people say it's a war on terrorism. What is going on? Can you tell us what's happening there?
That's precisely, I don't want to cozy up to you, but this is fully where I agree with you. And I'm against this expression, this misnomer, war on Islam. Even this word that I found, it's this really morbid word, Islamofascism. The other day I read in French or in German was this word, fascism islamique, something like that. It is a misnomer, it's a grave insult against the Muslim civilization. I'm against it. I may agree or may without or disagree. It doesn't matter. I mean, after all, I was raised in a very strong Catholic environment.
Well, George Bush said that we are at war with Islamofascists. Is he totally...
Precisely. I don't know who actually... I don't know because... pardon my ignorance. I don't know who put those things in his mouth because he doesn't even know what he was talking about. But it was somebody else who told him to use that word. And I am fully against it. This is not the appropriate way for a scholar, for a president of a ruling power to use that type of a lingo. That's very curious. I mean, look, I may disagree with Islam or not, but it's very curious that we are allowed to crack jokes now against, as they call them, camel riders or Islam and so on. And we can also crack jokes against Pope, and we can crack jokes against the Christians, right? Of course you will agree with me. But say something, you know, say something even modestly, mildly critical of the Jews. Well, you better believe it. In Europe, you will not hold to your job. You'll lose it overnight. So I guess
how did that happen? Tom, I wanted to ask you that. How did that happen in Europe? How these laws, which we probably will end up having those type of laws here in North America, it's already in Canada, but how did Europe come to this point where if you say anything negative of Israel or the Jews or the Holocaust, etc., etc., you go to jail? How did that happen?
Well, that's a good point, but let me just make one thing certain. I just want to make here a distinction. It's not the Jews, proverbial Jews, who are responsible for it. It's the, how can I say, it's just the retreat from reason. It's the scare, it's the angst, it's just the anxiety, prevailing anxiety among many, many, many European intellectuals. Actually, their self-censorship led to that. It fed upon this quote-unquote Jewish, if you wish, you know, laws that actually were introduced into the French legislation, Belgian, German, and so on and so forth, which I know by heart, by the way. But I'm not blaming the Jews per se. We are just too, how can I, I'm just looking for the right word, but I can't come up with that. But let me tell you again, historically, it goes back to 45. It goes back to 45 because the French Criminal Code, you know, which specifically, you know, targets the revisionists and so on, is basically anchored in the Nuremberg trial as well. It quotes the Nuremberg, the German Federal Criminal Code from 1931, paragraph 5, so on, also quotes those things. So you cannot understand what's going on unless you know exactly the cultural, not political, cultural history of Europe in 45, 46, 47, 48. And this probably explains, you're probably not even aware of that, that thousands, I'm talking about thousands of books in French and in German are simply not accessible. You've got to go to the University of Congressional Library or UC Library and so on to find those books. So this is where you have to start looking for this censorship, which is now gaining momentum in the European Union.
Okay. Good. Stay with me, and we will be back after the break. Calls, the number is 800-313-9255. 1-800-743-4443, and we will be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are speaking with Tom Sonich, professor. He is in Zagreb, I believe. And Tom, in one of your chapters in the book, the title of that chapter is Origins of Political Correctness. Mm-hmm. And you're coming down very harsh on the Marxist, but also you coming down quite hard on Calvinism, and you blaming it that it is using a self-censorship and political correctness. And also, to add to that one, so you can answer all of it together, Dr. Frederick Tobin, in a review of your book, he mentioned also that in the United States we did have freedom of speech, but now we have something called hate speech, and we do have a couple of bills in Congress to basically define some speeches as a hate speech. So we have different categories for hate speech and, I guess, love speech. Tell me about that, and what do you think about, you know, what are you talking about, the origins of political correctness? What are these origins?
Precisely. I'm glad that you raised this issue, because this is exactly the topic I was, I had a conference on just recently in the States, so between hate speech and love speech. And even semantically, we can see that this is a nonsense. If you look just at the etymology of hate speech, of this expression, it just popped up when, about 15 years ago. It never existed before. And I always wonder, I mean, always got to know who actually constructs, who is actually the masters of the discourse in the United States of America. And it's not hard to take a guess, you know, who, just as much as I do. In fact, you watch the TV, you know, who runs the show in Hollywood as well. But what surprises me is that, as I mentioned earlier, and this is just my comment, nobody raises his voice. There's no intellectual protest against it. There are no petitions. And I'm glad that this bill is still pending. I hope it's not going to be signed into law, because it's just in pure English, in a pedestrian English, it's nonsense. What does hate speech mean? Like, when I talk to my wife on a daily basis, she sometimes tells me that I'm using a hate speech. Like, if you really push this argument of hate speech, even on the legal level, to its extreme, it may end up in disaster, because everybody will suspect each other of using a hate speech. Like, for instance, if somebody calls me, well, you're a right-winger, you're a fascist, you're an anti-Semite, or you're a Trotskyist, you're a liberal, this is also a hate speech. If you call me a faggot, or if you call me an idiot, if you call me a wacko, or whatever, this is a hate speech as well. But don't we all use, in one way or another, you know, when we, in a daily life, when I meet my friends, we crack jokes against each other. So again, good point. We can also trace this hygienic language, to, believe it or not, to Calvinism. I'm sure that since you come from Palestine, you notice that Americans like to, you know, they enjoy this, which is very good. I appreciate it. But there is this overkill of have a nice day, have a nice day, have a nice day. Those escapades are somewhat less frequent in European continental languages, but at least they're well meant. They come from the bottom of your heart. I'm sure you will agree with that. So see, this is a fascinating topic that you've touched. Purely from the linguistical perspective of hate speech and love speech, it means nothing, but it can be signed into a very, very, very dangerous law, to the extent that you will have to be very careful what you say, even in your private life, using which gender and how you say it.
Isn't it freedom of speech? I mean, if everybody was going to be nice and lovely with each other, then we would not have a need for freedom of speech. But, I mean, freedom of speech was sit there so people can speak their mind. So if I have a problem with you, I would speak my mind, and even if you're going to have a problem with what I'm saying. I mean, this is what freedom of speech is all about, isn't it?
Well, precisely. Look, Hisham, we've been on the phone a couple of times. Look, you don't know my character, you don't know my temperament, but believe it or not, this is exactly what I enjoy. I mean, I like working with students, and I like to be challenged. I don't have a monopoly on truth, but this is exactly what I'm afraid of, that this is just disappearing, and it's petering out on the daily basis. Not just in America, but here in Europe, we have it. You know, I hate to say that I'm not that paranoid, otherwise I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone. But believe it or not, I'm not ruling out that somebody may be tapping my phone here in Europe and then may misconstrue my words and say, well, this gentleman is using some right-wing radical statements and will put him into trouble. Believe it or not, I'm not talking from the top of my head. I know quite a few of professors, not revisionists, just, you know, folks who had made some statements about sociobiology and all the rest, who lost, well, actually, whose tenure is now very much, well, whose tenure, whose job is now very much in question. So, again, if you don't fight openly, and I'm glad that you have this radio program here, if you invite not just scholars, but just simple people to that, and it doesn't take much time, it doesn't take money, but we just have to strongly, we have a common front. We are fighting for free speech, where Hisham and Tom can disagree on millions of things. We can disagree on many, many things, but at least I want to talk to you openly.
Tom, does what you're talking about, do you see any parallel with what took place on May 9th? The president had signed this directive, this presidential directive, of basically giving himself absolute power in the United States. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about some specifics of what this directive is all about and see where you can fit it in what you're talking about. Stay with me. We will be right back, and we welcome your phone call.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
From the Republic Broadcasting Network. My guest today is Professor Tom Sunich. Tom, before the break, and we're going to spend some time on this particular issue because it's very important, and it in a way it goes along with probably some of what you were saying. On May 9th, President Bush had signed it's called the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive, very much giving himself absolute powers over the country in case of an emergency, and they had defined emergencies as any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the United States population, So very much if we have another building such as the Oklahoma bombing or what happened on 9/11, and it does not have to be that catastrophic, very much the government or the president will take over such powers as the executive departments and agencies, which means the executive departments enumerated in the statutes, and basically all the government agencies, including the United States Postal Service. And also, he will take care of government functions, meaning the collective functions of the heads of executive departments and agencies as defined by statute, regulation, presidential direction, or other legal authority, and the functions, and this is very important, the functions of the legislative and judicial branches. We are talking about consolidating, Tom, consolidating all the powers that we have now from executive, legislative, and judicial powers in one man. What is going on? And all we need is somebody, and it could be anyone, who would fabricate an incident, and that would be considered by the president as a catastrophic incident. And then he will take over the whole country, and he did sign this. We did not see much fight or much publicity from the mainstream media or even from the Congress. Is this a dictatorship in your mind? Have we entered into this phase? Is this phase of dictatorship in your on your horizon?
Like the weapons of mass destruction, that's what you're referring to. Okay, there are two points we need to distinguish quite clearly, and I'll try to explain them very slowly. The first point is the concept of dictatorship. Believe it or not, we may probably disagree totally, and I certainly will agree to disagree with many, many people on the air. I very often support dictatorship. In fact, I was quite sympathetic once upon a time to Salazar, who was a Portuguese dictator, very educated one, very cultivated one. Keep in mind also the dictatorship is nothing new in history. The Roman Senate and during the Roman Republic also, in the case of emergency, during great floods, you know, during threat and so on, had to actually declare the state of emergency, the dictatorship. So there is nothing, you know, with this negative and pejorative connotation we have with muscled man and dictatorship. And of course, you know, if America was threatened tomorrow by terrorists or, let's say, communists or whatever, I would be the first one to support 100% president in his declaration or even in becoming an open dictator. So dictatorship does not necessarily have a negative meaning. It can have a very positive meaning. It can have a very positive connotation. However, on the personal level, I always ask myself, not just as a scholar, but also as a simple citizen, even as a simple American citizen, cui bono, there's a Latin word, who benefits from it? And who is behind? And I doubt myself, I don't want to denigrate now his intellectual capacities or whatever, I'll leave it up to your discretion, but the fact of the matter is, and I wonder, who wrote this piece? Who actually urged him to do that? Just like a couple of years ago during this invasion of Iraq, who was the person, the prime motive for the invasion of Iraq were the weapons of mass destruction, destruction, which turned out to be non-existent, which was a fabricated story, okay? And now I'm wondering, I'm just taking a wild guess, who is behind? Who actually benefits from this quote-unquote real or purported threat which may envelop tomorrow the United States of America? I don't have all the clues in my hand yet, but I always wonder who is behind. So I guess this is something which can develop very, very much, and I certainly, if you have some specific questions, I'll do my best to answer.
Well, Tom, I mean, I understand and I also agree with you that systems that had dictatorships over them is not really that bad if that was the system that gives country stabilization and very much gives citizens human rights, etc., etc. Like, for instance, Iraq was under a dictatorship, and I would rather Iraq remained under a dictatorship than seeing what we have in Iraq now. So I agree with you that dictatorships, they're not all bad, but we are talking about the United States of America that had prided itself on being a constitutional government, type of government, that the Constitution rules, and very much a representative government where the people are represented in all forms of government, and there are few steps that the government and the people have taken in case of a national catastrophe, or in case of even if all the leaders were decapitated, the leadership was decapitated, we do have another government ready to take over. But having George Bush do this at this particular time, knowing that George Bush has people around him who not mean the country any good, and people who very much of what Powell had called them, the crowd. These are people who very much took the country to war under false pretenses. These are people who still don't care what is happening to our dollar and what is happening to our country. And having the president away all of the people's powers, this is what concerns me. It's not having a dictator in Washington, but it is taking all powers away from the people. That's what concerns me. What do you think?
Well, of course, I fully agree with you, and I'll back you up. And if it needs to send a petition or write or sign a letter, I'll do that gladly. I guess I consider that my civic and my American responsibility as well. But then again, as I said, we have to keep in mind, I don't have all the information. I'm wondering who is behind and who actually benefits from it.
Well, the same people who were behind the war, the same people who are the neocons, you know all of them, you know the names,
right,
you know the last names, you know the surnames. So it's the same people who were behind George Bush since 2001.
Yes. Well, if that's the case, then it's certainly we have to protest. We have to do something about that, not just sit on their butts and just wait for sunshine.
The thing is, you protest, and the next you know that he will activate presidential directive, and you will have federal troops in all American cities, even taking over local government, even your local police will be under the directive of the president with this particular act. Isn't that basically the seeds for the American people to very much solve the situation by arms?
Well, let me, let me say from my perspective, what I'm particularly concerned with is, we mentioned earlier, is this hate speech, this tentative law, this hypothetical legislation. I would like to know exactly from the point of view of freedom of speech how this new UCAS, how this new decree that was signed by the president will affect my freedom of speech. As far as other things are concerned, we may probably part company, we may probably disagree. Of course America needs more authority. Of course I'd like to see the border better patrol. Of course I'd like to see more troops along the Rio Grande. Of course I'd like to see less immigrants over there. Of course I'd like to see more policemen, more cops, you know, in L.A. at midnight, so I don't have to walk with a pistol in my hand and being scared of being robbed or sodomized by who knows who. And that's certainly where I would applaud him for, quote-unquote, his dictatorial coup, if you wish. But then again, I wonder, I don't have all the necessary information, how this will affect my academic freedom of speech, how this will affect my free movement, and how this will affect my change of ideas with you or like-minded people or even with those who I disagree with. This is something I may be scared of. And of course, I won't. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let me give you the question in a different way. Why didn't he or whoever is behind George Bush. Why didn't they wait until, I mean, all it takes to sign a directive like that is just a strike of a pen, and he will have that in place. Why would he do this now when we do not have a national catastrophe or an incident, unless they are planning on doing something? They wanted to have this law ready in place, because this is what really mind-boggling is why would they come up with this particular law, and when we don't have a catastrophe, why didn't he wait until we have a catastrophe to do this, unless they are planning on something, maybe planning on maybe putting everyone who's against against the war in jail and just shutting up everybody? Why you would do this particular law now when you don't have a catastrophe? What do you think?
Oh, it's, Hisham, quite frankly, this is a good question, but it's just a matter of wild guesses. It just beats me. I'm not in a position. I have no idea, but it's a good point. It's a good lead. It's a good logic that you're using. Why signing this law now? We're sort of invoking the hypothetical, that's a good, a surreal sort of a scenario of putative catastrophe, and yet this catastrophe is not in the offing. Unless he has a prefabricated plan with his suite and with his neocons ready to do something like that. So again, I guess it's just a matter of speculation and this type of a conspiratorial rhetoric. It's not really my game. I simply don't know about this because I don't have enough evidence. If you see
very
what
good.
I
just thought it might go along with your thesis on what is happening in the country through the multiculturalism, et cetera, that it would eventually lead into a powers to be or a leader with absolute powers. I mean, it would have to come to that if we are taking your thesis to be something that the country needs to be extremely worried about in the future. And the only way to solve this and have a stabilization
right.
in the country,
right.
we do have a dictatorship in Washington who will very much fight for everyone. It's just like the only way Saddam Hussein was able to control the Shiites, the Kurds, and the Sunnis, the Christians, and the Muslims, and the other religions there, and all these different ethnic groups in Iraq. The only way to control them is to have a dictator over them. So from what you are telling us and your research, that the United States is headed towards some type of polarization, if it's not along the lines of religion, it's also along the lines of ethnic lines, which will lead into a situation in the future that only a dictatorship will be able to stabilize the country.
Yeah, that's a good point that you're making, because ironically, it just turns out that I may now fall into the same line of business like George Bush, because let me tell you what bothers me personally, because that was one of the reasons I also left the States. It certainly does bother me that 13 million immigrants, illegal immigrants, they actually, look, I don't want to talk about myself anymore. My daughter passed away, and I paid my taxes and everything, and I felt very much irritated that my money and my taxpayers' money went to some illegal immigrants. And, you know, if tomorrow some troops were being sent to Rio Grande to police the borders, and if those illegal immigrants are fined, and in fact, you cannot be an illegal immigrant, then I would certainly back up George Bush. But if he uses with his neocons tomorrow his policies against free speech and even against folks who I do not agree with, like revisionists or historical revisionists and scholars, if those people lose their tenure, if they are being defamed in liberal press and so on, I certainly will disagree with that, and I will fight as much as possible with my pen, with my books against that. But then again, we have to make a clear distinction, because I don't have the whole scenario in my head. I don't know who is that aiming at. And I don't want to use the term fascism, as they sometimes call Bush. He is certainly not a fascist, because he is surrounded by former Trotskyists and Marxists, all those neocons. Just look at that pedigree, you know, and you will see where they're coming from. You're reading my mind, you know where I'm coming from. So I just want to make those two things quite distinct from each other. America needs law and order. There's no question about that. It's a semi-anarchical place now at this stage with this foreign immigration. Look, I lived in L.A., and when I was a professor at Cal State Fullerton, I heard shotguns when I had kids over there. And, you know, you feel bad about this. You would like to have police. Why not? It's a normal thing in Europe, you know, at least some places.
Very good.
At the same time, I don't want to have those laws being used against the freedom of speech and express my anti-communist views, as I'm, you know, and anti-liberal views, and losing my job and losing my career because I didn't fit into this affirmative action program. You know?
Very good. Tom, unfortunately, we are out of time. And I probably need about 10 hours with you to go through what we need to go through. But we will bring you back at other times, and also we'll bring you back on the TV program. Just wanted to say thank you, Sarah, for coming on the program and giving us that much time.
Thank you, Hisham. It's very nice of you, and please do not please do feel free to put in a word for my book and my books and my network, my website, drsunicnetfirms.com. And I'll talk to you later. Thanks much.
Very good. Thank you. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is really scary. Number one, I do advise everyone to go and get Tom's book. It's called Homos Americanos. And after the break, we will wrap it up and see if we have the age of dictatorship and what we're going to do about it. We will be right back.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
We have a few minutes left before the end of the program. Just wanted to remind everyone that you really need to be concerned about this particular presidential directive. You might want to go on the internet and check it out. It's called the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive. It is extremely interesting. And some of you might be wondering, why would an immigrant, that is me, be so critical of the immigration issue in the country? Well, it's very simple. Number one, I don't really recognize anything that is called illegal immigration. In my opinion, there is no such a thing as illegal immigration. You should not, it's just like you go to your neighbor's house and take over, and you stay there and you say you have rights as an illegal occupier of that house. There are ways to immigrate to any country, and those ways are very much in place. They have been in place for a long time. The country, number one, should decide who comes in and who is not, based on a fair and just policy. And we do have that policy, regardless to race, national origin, regardless to a lot of things. We even have a lottery system in place for people from certain countries who can just send in their names, and they might win the lottery of actually becoming an American resident and eventually an American citizen. Every country has, every sovereign country, unless we look at our country here in the States as not being sovereign, every sovereign country should have a say-so on who comes into the country. And there's nothing wrong with us having people come from overseas who wants to work or decide. And by the way, most of those people who come to the United States legally, not illegally, legally, they very much have assimilated into the society. A lot of them have kept, which is, you know, rightfully so, they kept their religion, kept their heritage, kept their language. As long as that language and that heritage is not being forced on the country as a whole, then that is a totally that's totally acceptable with me. Don't tell me that we want another language to be here, because, you know, tomorrow I'm going to ask for Arabic to be the official language, and then the Pakistanis will do the same, and the Chinese, and then et cetera, et cetera. So where does it end? I think, you know, we all agree that the official language of the country is English, and it should be English. And I'm totally, totally against all forms of invasions, illegal invasions, I guess, you know, compared to legal invasion, maybe. But I think, you know, what we are witnessing now is a legal, not illegal, but legal invasion of the country. And definitely, instead of us being wanting to export democracy and liberty to people in Iraq, we very much need to look at our own home, get that straightened out, and make sure we have democracy and liberty in our country. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end. We will see you next week. Good night. Go do the right thing.
A message.